May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
This Thursday, I had a meeting in Weston, Massachusetts, all the way out there beyond the 128 corridor. This is a meeting that I have once a month, every month, with other recently ordained clergymen and clergywomen in this diocese. It starts at 9 a.m., and because it starts at 9 a.m., I have to wake up a little early to make the slog out there through the morning commute. But when I get there, they have coffee waiting for us. Except this week. There was no coffee. Now, I can't imagine anything worse than going into a five-hour clergy meeting without having any coffee. But running out of wine at your wedding might come in close. And actually, as egregious as the lack of coffee was, running out of wine at a wedding in Jesus' day actually was worse. Weddings were not just celebrations of two people joining. They were big, public affairs that announced the integration of two families, two clans. And Cana is a small village, so this marriage is going to change the entire social dynamics of this community. This is why almost everyone would have been invited, why Mary was there, Jesus and Jesus' disciples. And more than just an exchange of vows, in a wedding there's going to be an exchange of property, an exchange of livestock, an exchange of money, and also an exchange of status and reputation as these two families join. Which is why running out of wine is not just a big downer on the festivities. It's actually a disgrace. The family that was charged with bringing the wine is going to take a massive hit to their reputation. And this is something that could actually derail this marriage and prevent it from going forward. These families need this wine, which is where Jesus comes in, with perhaps the most conceited reply that the gospel writers have decided to put to paper. Oh, there's no more wine? What concern is that to me? My hour has not yet come. My hour's not yet come. Has anyone here known or heard of the saying, God's time is not our time? Yeah? It can mean a lot of different things, theologically, but the thing that I run up to against time and time again is the understanding that God's time, or God's timeline for our lives, doesn't always align with our preferred timeline and plan. That you might want something or need something right now, and you can pray to God for this thing, and God, of course, hears our prayers and will answer in some way, but God might not give you that thing that you want or need right now, because now is not the right time in the divine scheme of things. God's time is not our time. It's sort of what Jesus is saying here. God's time, my time, is different from your time. You might need this wine right now, but God's got different things in mind for me and a different time in which I'm called to reveal God's glory. This is ridiculous. It is. And I am so thankful that Mary also saw that it was ridiculous. You know, I think it takes a strong Jewish mother to put the Son of God in his place. But that's exactly what she does. You know, she calls over the servants and says, oh yeah, you know your wine problem? My son's going to take care of that. Just do whatever he says. Which sort of forces Jesus' hand, and he's got to do something. It's almost as if Mary is saying, my hour is not yet come. What is that? I mean, Jesus is in some ways thinking about his crucifixion. That's the hour to which he's referring to. But Mary is saying, you know, son, there's more to your life than the hour of your death. And if you're going to be a rabbi with disciples that's going to work and teach and be around the people in Galilee, you're going to have to be able to start to address the needs of these people when you encounter them. It's not just about some future point when you're going to do something great. It's about now. In the Gospel of John, there are seven signs that Jesus gives when he starts to reveal his divine nature. Turning water into wine is the first of those. But all seven of these signs, Jesus performs in direct response to an acute and present need. He turns water into wine because this wedding party needs the wine. He heals a paralytic, he gives sight to the blind, he brings back from the brink of death someone who is gravely ill because they need to be healed. He feeds the 5,000 because all these people followed him up to a hill without a picnic lunch and they're hungry. He walks on water because his disciples are in a boat in the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm and they're about to sink and they're terrified. And the big one, he raises Lazarus from the dead, not just because Lazarus needs new life, but because Mary and Martha and Jesus and a whole host of other people are grieving and need new life, renewed life, and the hope that renewed life will bring. The message of today's gospel, the message that Mary gives us, is that God's time is now. There might be some other legitimate readings of that saying, God's time is not our time, but in what I'm talking about this morning, it's entirely false. God's time is our time because the two have come together in Jesus. And because this is God's time, we are going to be not just called, but empowered and compelled to address the needs that lie before us today. We're going to be called, empowered, and compelled to feed the multitudes, to heal the sick, and to offer comfort to those who need love. Now, the other great scandal on Thursday, apart from the massive lack of coffee, was that 2/3 of the primates of the churches in the Anglican Communion voted to censure the Episcopal Church. I'm not going to get into the details of how this has zero impact on how the Episcopal Church is going to do mission and ministry in the world. But I will say that in their communique, these bishops are effectively saying that the Episcopal Church has moved too far, too fast on the issue of marriage equality. That now is not the time. Now is not the hour to have marriage equality because other churches in the communion are not there yet. This is ridiculous. The Episcopal Church has recognized the pain that LGBT Christians have experienced in being marginalized. The Episcopal Church has recognized that LGBT Christians have already a presence of God, the love and the blessing of God in their relationship. And if we were to regress and begin to ignore those Christians and to ignore their needs, well, not only would we be adding injury upon injury, adding to the pain of marginalization that these Christians have experienced, but we would be ignoring the fact that this is God's time. God is present already in these relationships, blessing and affirming, upholding them, and we are invited as a church to step into that presence of God, to step forward with God. St. Mary's, this parish, has the same invitation to recognize that this is God's time. That this is a wonderful opportunity to address the needs that are right before us. In 2016, wherever we look, we're going to see a need, and we're also going to see an opportunity. A need to renew our physical campus through the opportunity of renovations in our parish hall. The need to deepen our impact in Barnstable and in Mid-Cape, and the opportunity to re-examine and grow our outreach ministries. The deep need to deepen our faith formation, and the opportunity that we now have in an expanded formation hour. Wherever we look, there are needs and opportunities. And because this is God's time, God is present here already. We have, empowered by the Spirit, the calling, the empowerment, and the compelling to address these needs. And we'll do it together. Amen. Amen.